As the voice on the mount said, "Hear ye him, I repeat to you and to all who may have the privilege and opportunity of reading or hearing his messages, hear ye him. And when hearing, believe and seek." Well, my brother, I deemed it proper to write this short message and hope it may help you in there. The Paget Messages 1918, Work. I will come again. Good night. Your brother in Christ, Matthew. December 24, 1918. I am here, Helen. Well, dear, I see that you are quite happy just now, and appreciate the difference in influence given you by the messages that you have read and the book that you were reading that took up so much of your time before you commenced to read our writings. The information that you obtain from the book is quite valuable in an historical point of view, and by contrast may show you how utterly ignorant the writers of the articles or other the actors in the history were of the real truths of Christianity and of the true way to salvation. I would not advise you to read these articles, and I do know that it is best for you to give less time and thought to what you may learn from them. Thinking of these things to some extent interferes with your thinking of the truths, and also affects your condition for rapport, so that the spirits cannot communicate as freely and successfully as they desire to do, and as important as it is to be done. Well, tonight is Christmas Eve and you are all alone, and have thought, as I saw, of the times when you had us with you on Christmas Eve, and enjoyed the anticipation of the happiness of our children on the morrow. It is true that we had some happy days under such surroundings and that we were so absorbed in our dear ones that nothing disturbed our joys. But yet, it is not helpful to think of these days, for they are past and can never return, although you may before you come over have the opportunity to enjoy days in which your grandchildren may furnish you a similar happiness. But I will not be with you as you may think without really thinking, and you may wish that I might without realizing the fact that I will surely be with you and right in your happiness. As I have told you, I will not leave you in your loneliness, or when you may long for me, as long as you shall remain on earth. Tomorrow, when you visit Harry, I will be thee, and so will baby, and will enter into your feelings of joy, and try to impress you to realize my presence. No, my dear sweetheart, I will never forsake you, but will always love you with a greater love than ever I had on earth, and which is growing deeper and purer all the time. I knows that all of you will have a happy Christmas, and if you could only realize the presence of the spirits who will be with you, you 668, would find a greatly increased happiness. Baby says that she will be there and love you and Harry and Hazel with all her love and will try to help them feel that her love is with them, and will enjoy the occasion more than if she were with you in the body. You had better go to bed now and get up early. Well, dear, they are waiting only for you to get in condition, and when you do there will be no delay in communicating the truths. The Master has been with you a number of nights, desiring to write, but for reasons that you know of, he could not, but he is patient and thinks that you will soon realize the importance of the work so that you will do that which is necessary to bring about the condition. He is not here tonight, nor in the lower spheres, because, as I have told you before, the great amount of worship of him that is taking place now and will continue tomorrow, is distasteful to him, and he has gone to his celestial sphere, and will not probably come back to you until after the objectionable worship has ceased. No, not tonight. He is with you every night as he promised, and prays with you and tries to help you. And when you earnestly pray to the Father, he is pleased and gives thanks. So you, knowing this, must try to pray more earnestly, and with more faith. He will soon come again, and I am so glad to hear you say that you believe he is with you as he promised. Keep up your faith and hope, and you will not be disappointed, for the love will come into your soul in more abundance and you will become in better condition to do the work. Yes, we all hope so. But you must make the effort, for so much depends upon you. You will have the help of your friend who advises, and he is very anxious to do his part of the work. He is not here now, for when he was last here, he said he would not come until he had reason to advise you differently from what he last advised. But he will not fail you. So, dear, love us with all your heart and believe that we love you. Give me a kiss and say good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. December 26, 1918. Let me say a word. You are not doing the wise thing in reading that book, scientific demonstration of a future life, for it is very largely speculation and that which leads to untruth and harm. The writer knows now that his hypothesis of the dual mind is all wrong, and that he has the same mind now that he had when on Earth, and the Paget messages 1918, that no part of that mind died with the death of the body. He also knows that spirits do communicate with mortals, and the subjective mind, as he calls it, does not among mortals furnish the means of communication or suggest the information that is contained in the psychic phenomena. He also knows that the mind is not the soul, but one of its attributes merely, and that it is controlled by the soul and the will. Many other things besides, he now knows, and is convinced that man is not the result of evolution, but is the immediate and direct creation of God, and that he has no relationship to the brute animal. Sometime he will come and write you fully on these subjects, if you will permit him to do so. Good night, J. Hudson. The author, December 29, 1918. I am here, Nita. Well, Daddy, this is the night that I was to write my message, and I was looking forward to doing so, but Mother tells me that I had better wait until another night when you may be feeling better and have more time to receive it, and while I am disappointed, I will wait, but I hope it will be soon. Oh, Daddy, you don't know how anxious I am to write and tell you of the things that I have experienced and how happy I am, and how much I love you and want you to believe that I am with you and love me. I am progressing and growing happier and more beautiful, as Mother tells me, all the time. I know something of heaven and the Father's love, and of Jesus who comes to you and to me also, and tells me of wonderful things that are awaiting me in the higher spheres. Oh, I wish that I could explain to you all that I know and see and realize, for then I know you would strive with all your might to get in the condition that the spirits desire you to have. Yes, I have, and she is here, but so unhappy and sad and suffering. I am trying to help her. I see that you don't. Do not, but wait a little while and you will hear from Edward. Daddy, love me with all your heart and continue to pray for me. I am with you at night when you pray and feel so much helped. Good night, my dear Daddy. Your own loving, Nita. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, dear, I am glad that you had the message from John, for I see that you are anxious to receive an explanation of the truth of the second coming 669, of the Master in detail, so that not only you but the world which reads these messages may understand. John will come soon, it all depends on you. Well, our baby was so happy that she could write you, and tell you how much she loves you, and how happy she is and with what rapidity she is progressing. She was a little disappointed that she could not write, but as she understands the reason she acquiesced and said she would wait. She is progressing very fast and becoming so very beautiful as the love fills her soul. You must think of her and love her very dearly. I was with you tonight at church and saw what impressions the sermon made on you, and how you felt that you would like to tell the preacher the truth and help him put on the wedding garment. Well, we will have to wait. His mother is praying for him and trying to impress him with the truth, but his orthodox views are too firmly fixed to permit an impression to be made upon him at this time, but sometime he will learn the truth. Well, dear, you have had another happy experience today and your soul has been much benefited by your longings for the Father's love. Only continue to pray and you will realize your desires, and the messages will come to you, for many spirits are here, waiting to communicate. Well, we have thought of that, and concluded that you had better confine your work to the higher messages, especially as the work you did among them is bearing much fruit, and as a result the spirits of love are enabled to come into communication with many of the dark spirits who now listen to what we desire to say to them. The ones that you helped are working successfully among the dark ones. Well, dear, I will now stop. Love me and believe and pray. Good night, your own true and loving, Helen. The Paget Messages 1919 January 5, 1919. I am here, Spinoza. Let me write a few lines as I have not written you for some time, and am quite anxious to give some thoughts that may be of benefit to you. I am not one of the spirits who write to you of what they call the higher truths, yet I have a knowledge of some of these truths and believe in all that has been communicated to you, For I know that the spirits who write you are of the celestial spheres, possessed of knowledge that we who live in the spirit spheres do not possess. Well, I merely want to say a few words in reference to the predictions which you heard tonight, and as regards the source of the same. As you know, the woman is a medium gifted with the power of clairvoyance and inspirational receptivity, and on many occasions she perceives and receives some of the truths of the spirit world, and some of the persons whom she professes to see. Her communicants, though, are not of a very high order of development, and she, herself, could not see the highly developed spirits, because the law of communication and rapport applies to her phases of mediumship just as it does to yours. She is a very good woman morally, with some temperamental defects, and attracts spirits of moral worth and conditions, and her guides are in the condition that enables them to live in the brighter spheres, yet not having much spiritual development. She professes to declare the predictions of her spirit friend, G_, as to what the future, for the ensuing year, will be in the experience of men and nations. Well, she has such a control, and he is a very intelligent spirit, and to some extent inspires her with his ideas of what the future holds out to mankind, and she with more or less exactness declares his thoughts as they are impressed upon her mind. But in connection with these thoughts she incorporates thoughts of her own, believing that they are inspired also, but such is not the fact, though, possibly, these thoughts furnish as good grounds for the predictions as do the thoughts of her control. I do not believe, at least I have never had it demonstrated to me, that any spirit can make truthful predictions, such as the medium expressed 670, tonight, for spirits have not the powers of omniscience and are as dependent upon the workings of the law of cause and effect as are mortals, with this exception, that they can perceive many existing causes that mortals cannot, and hence because of this knowledge can make predictions of the future happening of effects, that mortals cannot make. Take from spirits the knowledge of these causes and their predictions are merely guesses which may or may not come true. As you heard, she declared many things that are problems now existing and the subjects of much thought and study on the part of mortals who give their attention to these matters, and she, as one of them, had her own thoughts and had formed her own conclusions and believed that they were the results of inspiration, whereas they had their foundation in her own mind, arising from her knowledge of and speculations on these things. The present conditions of the world are such that there exists great probabilities of the happening of many things that the medium predicted, and many persons having knowledge of these conditions will predict, if they be called upon, future occurrences similar to those mentioned by the medium, and if they should happen, it will not be because any spirits know the fact, but because there are causes existing which will necessarily bring them about. Well, such meetings and such predictions will not do any harm, but, on the contrary, will cause many people to turn their thoughts to spiritual things and to spiritualism, which will tend to liberate their minds from the shackles that are now preventing them from seeking and understanding the truth. I will not consume more of your time now, but hope to be able to write later. Goodbye, your friend, Spinoza. I am here, Helen. Well, dear, I am sorry that I could not write a while ago, but there were some spirits in trouble who wanted to write, and I did not feel justified in using force to drive them away, though White Eagle would not let them write. We must expect such interferences and abide there. The Paget Messages 1919, results for a while. You understand, I know, and will not think that I did not desire to write. Well, you have received a letter tonight from a spirit who has written you before. And, as I then told you, he is a very bright and intelligent spirit, but not of the celestial spheres, and only knows the truths which came with the development of his soul in natural love. We have tried to help him but have not yet been successful in convincing him that what we tell him is the only way that will lead him to the happiness of the divine. Yet we expect that sooner or later he will understand and follow our advice. Helen. January 6, 1919. I am here. Francis Bacon. Let me write just a few lines, as I desire to tell you of a thing which may be of importance to you. I see you are a little disturbed over what a man said to you tonight as to his want of belief in the identity of the spirits who profess to manifest themselves through mediums. Well, this need not disturb you one particle, for the identity of the spirit is just as real and certain as is the fact that a man can and does identify another after an absence, more or less long, from the latter's appearance, voice, and so forth. In the case of his identification, he depends on the operation of certain of his senses, such as his sight and hearing, and through them he satisfies his mind that the man identified is the identical person that he may claim to be. As you may say, he would be a very silly man if he would not accept such identification as convincing and determinate. In the case of the identifying of those who are in the spirit, and who come with the powers and with the presence of spirits only, he cannot, of course, use his senses for the purpose of identification, and if he had to depend upon these organs alone, he would never be able to conclude that the spirits who present the phenomena are those who profess to be his friends or acquaintances. Most mortals do not have the gift of perceiving, or receiving the impression of, the presence of spirits, and in such cases are in the condition of the blind and deaf man with reference to the things of earth. The latter has no means of identifying his closest friends, and yet it would be just as reasonable to contend that these friends are not existing and present, and the same day after day, as for mortals to say that the spirits of those who once lived on earth are not existing and 671, present, because the mortals have not the faculties of seeing and hearing them. There are things in earth life as well as in spirit life that can come to the knowledge of some men only through information given them by other men who have superior powers and faculties for seeking for and obtaining this information. Some mortals have eyes and faculties not material, as usually understood, for seeing and hearing and receiving knowledge from the spirits, and who render what is thus seen, heard and received just as real and certain as a real and certain the presence of mortals and material things to those who have their physical organs of sight and hearing, and the identity of what is seen and heard and received is just as truly established in the former as in the latter case. All men who are wanting as to the non-material organs mentioned can identify the things of the material world and are satisfied of the fact, and make their mode of such identification the standard by which they must and only can become convinced of the identity of the things of the spirit world, and when they insist upon such method of identification they, of course, can never be convinced, except perhaps in those phenomena as are manifested in materialization and spirit photography, when the merely physical powers or means of ascertaining the existence and identity of things or humans are used. Then those who confine their search for truth and the discerning of the identity of claimed existences to the use of such physical organs will never be able to see, hear or receive that which might convince them of the identity of the things existing in the spirit world. This is the result of the eternal laws of the universe in their operations, and no desires or efforts of man can change this result. Man is unfortunate when he assumes the position that unless these laws can be or are changed in order that he may by his physical organs see or hear or be able to identify the things of the spirit world, he will not believe that there is identity existing among the spirits who come to men and in various ways manifest their presence. When a man stands on the compliance with this condition as necessary to convince him of the identity of those friends of his who have passed to spirit life and who come in psychical phenomena and manifest themselves, it is useless to try to convince him, because of the very necessities of the laws governing such phenomena. And those who do believe, and those who know of this, the Paget Messages 1919, identity will only waste time and effort in trying to convince men who assume the position of depending entirely on the physical means which they may possess. There are many humans today who are truly convinced, and have all sufficient grounds for their convictions as to the identity and presence of their spirit friends, and they are not deceived, but enjoy the happiness that comes to them from such knowledge. In my observations of the workings of human minds upon this question of the existence and identity of spirits, I learned that such evidence as would satisfy their minds, under the strictest requirements as to material things, is brushed aside as wholly inadequate, and sometimes not even worthy of consideration, to satisfy them as to these spiritual things, and it seems that the greater knowledge they possess of the nature of and laws controlling material things, the less credence and consideration will they give to the nature of and laws controlling spiritual things. Every other explanation of psychical phenomena is put forth and accepted, rather than the simple and natural one, and if men only knew what nature really is, and its laws, they would realize how little they now know of nature. Generally, nature is only that consciousness of things material which comes within their limited cognition. They do not know that the larger part of nature, if it can be separated, is beyond the things or conditions which they have knowledge of as being the material of the universe. Well, as I said, the identity of the spiritual cannot be and must not be expected to be established by the operations of the merely physical organs of man, except perhaps in those manifestations appearing in the phenomena of materializations or spirit photography, and even they are not accepted as real or true by many men who accept what are called scientific deductions from supposed facts connected with the manifestations of what these men consider to be natural. And so the proof of the presence and identity of spirits will have to depend upon the results produced by the operations of laws controlling the spiritual existences and the psychical powers and gifts of certain humans. Sometime it may be that these gifted persons will be accepted as honest and truthful and not self-deceived, and the manifestations resulting from the exercise of these powers as the effects of the efforts and intelligence of spirits who at one time were human beings. 672. When men come to realize that the change called death does not destroy identity and consciousness and powers of mind, as well as what may be called powers physical, for the material of the universe is used and operated by spirits, but on the contrary, intensifies these possessions and powers, then they will accept the truth that the presence of the spirits of their departed friends is a variety, and that the identity of these spirits is eternal. Well, I have written as much as I think best to write tonight, and thank you for your indulgence. With kind regards, I will say good night, your friend, Francis Bacon. January 12, 1919. I am here, Jesus. Let me say a few words. I have been with you tonight while at church and since you came home and understand your desire to have the preacher read my message on the soul, and I agree with you that it is advisable. He has some conception of what the soul is, but his knowledge is not of that character as to enable him to express the most important qualities or its origin or difference from the spirit. I was glad that he undertook to deal with this subject, for it has given you the opportunity of making known to him or of affording him the opportunity to talk to him about these truths and then be able to enlighten him, for his mind is working in error and misconception of what the truth of these spiritual things is. I desire to come soon and write another message and am only waiting for you to get into the necessary condition that I may do so. Well, I will understand you and will come some night this week. Think more of these spiritual things and pray more to the Father for His love, and you will not fail to get in condition. Our work will go on and we will have many messages, yet tonight we must take advantage of every possible moment. I have been with you a great deal lately trying to influence you and turn your mind to these spiritual things and away from merely earthly things that are not important to you. I hope that you will soon be so situated that you can give all your thoughts and attention to the work, and I believe you will if you will make the effort. You know we can help you in many ways, but more depends upon yourself as to these material matters, and you must act. The Paget Messages 1919. I will not write more tonight, and with my love and the Father's blessings I will say good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. I am here, your own true and loving, Helen. Well dear, the Master has just written you and he was very much interested in what you have in mind to do. You must try your utmost to be ready to receive his message when he comes, for nothing to you is of more importance. I will soon come and write a little upon some features of the soul which is not in the Master's messages, I mean about the soulmates and their love. So expect me. Baby says she wants to write and tell you what she knows about love and happiness, and will do so as soon as you will arrange things. I will not write more tonight as you are somewhat tired. So sweetheart, love us and pray to the Father and believe that I love you with all my heart and soul, the great thing to you and me. Good night, your own true and loving, Helen. February 11, 1919. I am here, Robert Dalowen. Let me say just a word, for I am interested in your work and in the phenomena of spiritualism. I have been with you as you read the tablet suggests it is his book, book which attempts to show the truth of spiritual manifestations, and the instances mentioned of spirits showing themselves in the garb of humans are true. I was then an investigator of the question, and had only the knowledge which I received from my own observation, and, hence, was an outsider, as it were, of these spiritual phenomena. I mean that I was not one of the gifted ones of earth, who can have the power of receiving or communicating with spirits by reason of the fact that they possess the power of seeing or feeling or hearing the presence of spirits. I was not so gifted. I am now an investigator of things spiritual, but not of the possibility of communicating with the spirit world, for this I know to be a fact, and beyond all question, and men who doubt the fact are in the condition of those who will not learn, because they do not believe in the first principles of the phenomena, and are willing to let their prejudices or their indifference lead them away from the truth. The phenomena which I have portrayed in my book 35 are very simple and of the lower order of spiritual phenomena, and yet men will not believe because they fail to approach the subject with open minds and desire to learn the truth, even though the search for the same leads them along lines of investigation that are so foreign to the course of study that they are pursuing in their various vocations. Of all the bigoted and hard-headed investigators of truth, the preachers are the most difficult to teach the truth of spiritualism, and their periscope is one that enables them to see only in a straight line that has been laid down to them for ages and holds them in its iron grasp. I would like to come to you sometime and write you a long description of the spirit world and its phenomena, although it may not surprise you very much, considering what you have had revealed to you. Well, you have asked me some questions which I cannot answer in one breath. But I am in the third sphere, where many spirits are pursuing their studies of things which pertain to the laws of the spirit world, as well as to the laws of the earth. I have not heard of the divine love, except as we call all love divine, and it must be so, for it leads us to the spheres where those who are sinless and in harmony with the Father reside. I am a true believer in the things of God and in the redemption of all mankind, sooner or later. My intellect is only part of my existence in the spirit world, and above and greater than that is the love that causes me to become in harmony with the laws of God, and at one with Him. These are the answers to your questions, and I should like to write you at length upon the truths of what I have so briefly stated. I know that you are very busy in receiving communications from the spirit world and have little time for communications from strangers, yet I should like to write at least one letter in reference to my condition and knowledge of things as I have found them. I say what is true, for I have never heard of the divine love in the sense that you have spoken of. I have never talked with spirits who claim to have this love, and to be better than other spirits who are progressing in the love which they have, and as to immortality, I only know that death merely sets the soul of the mortal free and enables. 35 He wrote two books, Footfalls on the Boundary of Another World, 1859, and The Debatable Land Between This World and the Next, 1872. 673, The Paget Messages 1919, It to Enter Onto Its Progress Towards the Higher Spheres, Where Truth and Goodness Are. Let me wait a moment in my astonishment, for I see more spirits who seem to be of a different order of spirit from me, and are brighter and more beautiful, and are willing to tell me of the divine love, for they all claim to know it. But I do not understand, and I am sure that if they are possessed of this love, it is only another form of belief. I am all confused and cannot think for the moment. I will come again. I must go. Good night, Robert Dale Owen. February 19, 1919. I am here, Job. Let me say a few words tonight upon a subject that is of importance to mankind and to the future of man. I see that you have been reading a book professing to give communications from a spirit who claims to be possessed of a divine mission in the way of teaching men the truths of the soul, and of the way to immortality and life. Well, you may accept what is said with some degree of truth as to the condition of spirits who are progressing in the development of their natural love, and as to the facts that await a soul after it has left the mortal life. Many of the statements contained in the writings are true and should be accepted and acted upon by mortals who desire a knowledge of the true way to a kingdom of the purified soul and to a reconciliation to God in the way of renunciation. God is good, and not the hateful and merciless being that your orthodox beliefs teach and is always the same, now as in the days of old when men's conception of him were determined by their own ideas of what a god should be, and what men should believe him to be.